Good morning.
Good morning. I'd
like to welcome all of you to worship this morning. We thank this Lord, the Lord for this day, for the privilege of gathering together in worship. The announcements in the bulletin, you see the thing about Sunday school, only got to be between 5 and 14. Any of you qualify? I don't think so. There will be, it's not in the bulletin, but 4:44 on Wednesday is choir. And 5:30 is bell practice this Wednesday.
Please come to choir because just being with Pastor, I can't miss him alone. He just sometimes I'm glad that I'm really glad that Nancy is there because she helps keep him in tow.
Well, anybody can understand if you have to meet with women only. Anyway, that's beside the point. We're here to worship and not discuss it. Are there any other announcements to be made this time? Scott, do you have any?
And also, there will be a congregational meeting on the 16th, right after service.
That's 2 weeks from today.
There should have been an email and letter sent out. Just to confirm the agreement that we have with the UCC to share an interim minister. And if everything goes good, we might even have Larry Seid out here before the end of the month. If it works before the end of September.
Okay,
if
great.
If all congregations get everything in line.
So everything's going good in that way. You just need the congregation to affirm what you as a council have already done.
Yeah.
Okay. Any announcements? Chosen people, right? If you don't raise your hand, the ushers will bring you one. If everyone has this, you'll need this for worship this morning. Okay? We are gathered here. Let's please stand. Trinity, one God, abounding in steadfast love toward us, healing the sick, raising the dead, showering us with every good gift.
Amen.
Let's confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Just and gracious God, we come to you for healing and life. Our sins hurt others and diminish us. We confess them to you. Our lives bear the scars of sin. We bring these also to you. Show us your mercy, O God. Bind up our wounds, forgive us our sins, and free us to love. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Apostle Paul assures us, when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together with Christ, nailing the record of our sins to the cross. Jesus says to you, you are forgiven, be at peace, and tell everyone how much God has done for you.
Amen. Amen.
First hymn is number 824.
Nature.
of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit.
And also with you.
Protect us from all dangers that attack us from the outside, and cleanse us from all evil that arises from within ourselves, that we may be preserved through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation, may be seated. The first lesson is reading from Deuteronomy chapter 4. So now, Israel, give heed to the statutes and ordinances that I am teaching you to observe, so that you may live to enter and occupy the land that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must neither add anything to what I command you, nor take away anything from it, but keep the commandments of the Lord your God with which I am charging you. You must observe them diligently, for this will show your wisdom and discernment to the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and discerning people." For what other great nation has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is whenever we call to him? And what other great nation has statutes and ordinances as just as this entire law that I am setting before you today? But take care and watch yourselves closely, so as neither to forget the things that your eyes have seen, nor to let them slip from your mind all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is in your bulletin. We'll read it antiphonally. That means people on this side, all of you, will join me in the light-colored, and you on that side will be the dark-colored prayer. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle, who may abide upon your holy hill?
Those who read the name of Messiah and do what is right, who speak the truth from their heart.
They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends. They do not cast discredit upon a neighbor.
In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back their words.
They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things will never be overthrown. The second lesson is reading from James chapter 1. Every generous act of giving with every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious, do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts. Their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Seventh chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
We'll try that again. Holy Gospel according to Mark, chapter 7.
Glory to you, O Lord.
All right. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe: the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites. As it is written, 'The people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I actually have thought about having all of you over here move over here, and then I can come right in the middle, stand facing that way. But I'll just stand here anyway. Last night I said to Nancy, "Why don't we just skip church tomorrow?" She said, "Well, you're preaching, you gotta go." I said, "That's right." But anyway, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Want to talk today about tradition. Funny, there's lots of seats. Oh, okay. Fiddler on the Roof came out in 1972, the summer of that year. How many of you have seen it, heard it? You know what it is? Okay. I remember it because I got back in June from internship, and I was bored, so I took summer Hebrew. That was a lot of work. But anyway, we convinced the professor that during the we should go and see this because it's a Jewish film about Jews, what they do. And what I really liked about it is this guy, I can't remember his name.
Tevye.
Okay. And he liked to talk to God. In fact, he liked to argue with God. And I thought it was interesting. You know, sometimes I think we think we got to talk in real pious terms to God. But he would argue with him. You know, God, why did you let my horse get sick today? Or why did you allow the wheel to fall off of my milk wagon? Why did you do this? Why don't the children conform to the rules and traditions that we have? And even one of them is marrying a non-Jew. That is not acceptable. Lord, why do you permit such things to happen? And so he would go on and on and on. And we get today, and we look at the Pharisees. And got to remember before I'm going to read you some quotes from them. But the Pharisees were the good guys. You remember you heard the quotes in Deuteronomy about keeping the law, the precepts of God, how important it was. The Pharisees had decided after going into exile that one of the reasons they went into exile was because they did not keep the law of God. So they were keepers of the law. They were the good guys. So what happened? Well, in chapter 2 of this Mark, Jesus forgives the sins of a paralytic, and they say, why does he speak this way? It's blasphemy to forgive the sins of a paralytic. Why does he eat with sinners and tax collectors? Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples, Jesus, do not fast? You know, you're not doing things right. Look, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath? And then today they say, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but they eat with defiled hands? So what had happened? You know, it became that the laws became more important than the people. And so Jesus finds himself at odds with the Pharisees. They find themselves at odds with Jesus. You know, it was interesting, last Sunday I heard Pastor Stephanie talking about the vultures and the hummingbirds. The vultures eating off of the dead and old, and the hummingbirds on the present and the future, in a sense. And so they both get their fill. And I think she was sort of saying to us as a congregation, where are we going? You know, are we going to stick with all the old? Or are we going to go to the new? We might ask ourselves, what about traditions? Are they any good? And I think most of us would answer yes to that question. But traditions can also become a stumbling block or a difficult thing for us also. I think traditions can bring order and meaning to our lives. And they can take a meaningful event and we remember it as something that happened a long time ago but was important to us. When we lived in Madison, South Dakota before coming here, Nancy and I lived across the road from what was called Prairie Village. And Prairie Village, they had a main street that was more or less what stores were like in the 1880s at that point in time. And they would have threshing the way they used to do it with the old stuff. And they would have tractor parades. Sometimes they limited it to one brand per year, like maybe John Deere one year and Alice Chalmers another. And they also had a church there. And I did have the privilege of preaching in that church once during their festivals. But what was interesting, this church had no lights, no electricity, no heat, no air conditioning. And I thought, when we talk about the good old days, do we want to go back to those days where you got to wear a heavy coat in the wintertime and we sweat in the summertime? Of course, you sweat more over there than here. But anyway, these are traditions. And I think we say some traditions, it's good to not have them anymore or to do away with them. Why at Christmas time do we give gifts? Isn't it because Jesus was God's gift to the world? And also we think of the wise men, they brought gifts to the Christ child. And so gift giving, I think we sometimes forget the purpose of it is to remember what happened thousands of years ago with God sending his son into the world. So I wanted to look a little bit at traditions we have in the church. One of them is giving. When Nancy and I were in England, we went past these large buildings that were called tithe houses. And the way people gave then is you'd bring your hay or your oats or whatever in, and it was stored in the tithe house. And that's how giving was done in the church. Well, we decided, I don't know how far back, but it's easier just to give money, that you earn money at a job or whatever, and then you give it to the church. And so you put your money in the offering plates. And then we decided that really envelopes are good, because then people can't see how much you're putting in the offering plate. Well, maybe not that reason. But anyway, sometimes for tax reasons, and for others we would use an envelope. Well, then Nancy and I, we do it the modern way. We have a debit at our bank, and then they just send a check to the church, and so we know the church gets it every month. They get our tithe. Well, when we've been back visiting our son and his daughter, we go to this huge Missouri Synod, but it's still a Lutheran church in Omaha. And what we noticed is they have in their bulletin thing, you get out your cell phone and you put in a certain number and you put in the number of dollars you want to give to the church, you punch a button and it's done. And I thought, well, Nancy and I aren't quite as modern as we thought we were, that's the way it's done today. Things change all the time, it seems. Or we think about Holy Communion. We come up and we kneel at the altar, and if we can't kneel for physical reasons, we stand. But before, when I came here, the rails were higher up. People sometimes would trip over this, but it was up here, sort of around the altar. And so that's where people came for having communion. So we changed that. When we were in Iceland, I got to preach at a little church out in the country, and you could reach both rails standing here. It was this narrow. The altar was half the width of ours. The pulpit was right here, and you were right in the same level as the lights when you stood up in the pulpit. They really raise them up. And so that's a way of doing communion. Or we can have communion by intention, where you take the bread or the wafer and you dip it in the wine. Or we have continuous, which we've been doing recently, where you come up and after you receive the elements, you go back to your seat and someone else comes up. We sometimes have the common cup. I like it. A lot of people don't, because they're concerned about germs. But anyway, all of these are legitimate ways of receiving communion. But what we need to remember is the same thing happens. No matter how different we might do it, we know that God is there. We're receiving his body and blood. And we forget. Again, he confirms to us the forgiveness of sins. And that is what is important, is it not? Not how we do it, the ways change. We're human beings, and human beings just do it that way. I don't know if God intended it, but that's the way we are. We do things differently. What about the age for receiving communion? I received my first communion when I was in ninth grade and confirmed on, I think it was Easter Sunday. You couldn't do it before then. Then we moved the age up, and today infants can be communed, that they can receive the elements of bread and wine. What about our liturgy that we have, that we follow? I started with a Concordia hymnal, an old black one that didn't have much singing at all. And then we went to that wonderful SBA service book and hymnal that was read, and it had more singing. I remember my parents hated it. And it was a thing to be upset about in the church. But we got used to it. And by the time we got used to it, we got to the green hymnal, which had even more singing, and more people complained about it. And I know some people, when we were in South Dakota, McLaughlin, it's where the Apostles' Creed, the Holy Catholic Church, and we had a German there who said, the Holy Christian Church. And he would always yell out Christian when we said this, because he did not like that word Catholic in there. Even though I'd explained time and time again, Catholic means universal, all Christians. It doesn't mean Roman Catholic, it means Christians. Well, we had that. And then we come to the red hymnal after we got used to it, and a lot of people don't like the red hymnal. There's really a lot better hymns, a lot more, and I shouldn't say better hymns, but I just like the variety in it. But some people don't like that. And so we have changes in the church. Is any of them good or bad? No, that's just where we are as human beings. And I'll bore you a little bit. I was thinking about after I graduated, when I was in seminary, the first thing that came out, the professor said was really good, was cassette tapes. Do you know what a cassette tape is? I mean, you can buy music on it. You can record anything. You can record my sermon and listen to it over and over again if you really wanted to. They were just the cast me out. Now you can't even get them. They don't exist, I don't think, except, do they?
I have a bunch of them if anybody wants them.
Well, other than people that are still holding on to them, and I still have them. Now, my pickup will play either cassette or CD, but it's a 99 pickup, so it's sort of old, you know. But anyway, I got a typewriter before we got, and it was a manual typewriter, and it had a 14-inch carriage. I thought this was pretty cool. I could do bulletins however you want to, you know. And of course, you do this thing, and then you have a... Any of you know what a mimeograph is? I mean, a wonderful thing, right? I mean, you put this on there, you get ink all over yourself and your clothes, but eventually you come up with a bulletin and a newsletter and all that stuff. And then they come up with computers. And I remember when I was in Roswell, New Mexico, and I made out the agenda for the church council, and I had I'd written it. And I have a pretty neat hand. Mine isn't like a doctor's. You know, I write neatly, and I had this down, about 10, 12 items, and then I handed it out. And one of the younger gals on the council said, "You got a computer, why don't you use it?" She said, "Then we could read what you have here." Well, I was a little hurt by that. I thought I did a good job. And I informed them that my letter call said nothing about using a computer. And I didn't figure I had to. But then I thought, well, I was really, I'm around 50, you know, or so. And I thought, well, that's a little young to still say you can't do anything. So I decided I had to use it. But you know, I don't know if they've improved any, or if we've improved, but you know, you get to one spot and you get stuck, and you can't go any further. And I finally found a gentleman in the congregation who was retired. He was a ham operator, and he was good at this stuff. And so I would call him up and say, "I'm here. Okay, what program are you on? Where are you at? Okay, here's what you do." Otherwise, it's so frustrating. You spend hours and hours on these dumb things, and you know, time is valuable. Well, eventually I learned to use the computer. And sometimes I think we use the computers too much today. You know, we've gone to email and all this stuff. And I have, you know, I have my Kindle. Kindle is a wonderful thing. You know, I have over 400 books in this thing. When we were down in Phoenix once, I was doing something in the car, and I set it up on top, and I forgot. Went down the street, kerplunk, it was gone. I went and I ordered a new one that was this, and it came back with all the books I had on the old one. They were on here. I thought, how can that be? This is a completely different device. Well, all this stuff changes, you know. But I think what the gospel doesn't change. And I think we as a congregation, and this becomes more my opinion than the Word of God, I think we've got to turn more stuff over to the younger people in this congregation. And those of us who are older have got to close our mouths. And when they don't do it quite the way we think they should do it, we need to let them do it. Hopefully they will ask our advice, you know, because we are full of wisdom. But that's right. I think that's what we got to do. There comes a time, and when this happens, they will do things that we don't approve of or we don't like. And that's where you just keep your mouth shut and say, well, okay, we do things different in the church. Things progress. The main thing is that we preach the same gospel, that Jesus is Lord. He loves us. He cares for us. And we care for each other as we do the work of God. Amen. We will continue with the next hymn, which is 879.
Saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Amen. Saying, loving God, you hear our prayers and you respond, you live among us. Loving God, you hear our prayers.
You live among us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your commandments. They guide us, they show us your will, and they help us live together in peace and respect for one another. Loving God, you hear our prayers.
You live among us.
Holy Spirit, open our ears to hear the voice of God's beloved Son, that we may live the love of Christ. Loving God, you hear our prayers.
You live among us.
Stir our hearts, Lord God, with noble songs of love, valor, and faithfulness, that our spirits may soar with the power of your mighty word. Loving God, you hear our prayers.
You live among us.
As we listen to your admonitions, Holy Spirit, give us strength to act, to give, and to assist in the care of all in need. For we are your children, and we are all sisters and brothers, one to another. Lord God, you hear our prayers.
You live among us.
Lord Jesus Christ, more than our songs, our prayers, and our words, you desire our hearts. Become the love of our lives. Lord God, you hear our prayers.
You live among us.
Hear our prayers for our sisters and brothers in need at this time. Loving God, you hear our prayers.
You live among us.
The love of God has won. The new life has begun. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share the peace at this time. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Thank you. together pray the offering prayer. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy, mighty, merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached the good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Christ invites you to a place of honor at this banquet. Welcome to the feast. We're going to do communion a little different this morning. We won't sing Whose Body, Julie? I ask you to come up here and make an elongated circle. Everyone, all at the same time. Down there on the first level, just right in here, just an elongated circle. Sort of make it however it works. And you can, some of you can be up here by the rail facing this way. Come on up here. Make one big circle. Yeah, there we go. Christ given for you. The body of 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 Christ given for you. Jesus loves you. The body of Christ given for you. thanksgiving for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Now may the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his precious blood, strength preserve us and life everlasting. His grace be with us. Go in his peace. Amen.
Amen.
Sing, "We are a chosen people of God." Page 13.
Thank you.
prayer after communion. O God, as a mother comforts her child, so you comfort your people, carrying us in your arms and satisfying us with this food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Send us now as your disciples, announcing peace and proclaiming that the reign of God has come near. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.